We shall continue in the vein of our now several weeks of conveyance of this glorious message, the doctrine, I should say, the scriptural doctrine of regeneration. The scriptural doctrine of regeneration, which entails eternal justification, salvation, all the works of God in the eternal realm. Amen. This is telling it from God's vantage point and God's viewpoint, which I think is the only viewpoint that really counts. And we, as we move forward in this, amen, want you to turn to our base scripture. By the time we finish our months of exposition, we hope that you will know Titus chapter 3 and 5 by heart, not only just know it, but understand it. Mm-hmm. Amen. And in conjunction with this, we will touch on some other things today from the book of Galatians. Amen. Also, if you have not received our document, first 17 pages of the document, the Scripture Doctrine of Regeneration, ushers, there should be some in the back, hopefully. Amen. Make sure our guests receive it so that you can follow along with where we are. Amen. We are at the bottom of page 2 here at the Grace Gospel Church. We put in writing everything that we preach and teach. Amen. We confidently, I used to say boldly, some people take that to mean arrogant, so I changed that word. Confidently.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We confidently, we have confidence. We confidently, amen, give that which we render in writing.
Mm-hmm.
What's in writing, man, no one can go around saying what you're saying or what you're teaching is in writing.
Right, right.
Amen. With the scriptures there. And so we praise God as He has directed us to. This is what we shall do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There's much to be gleaned in the writings of as much that has been written concerning what we really are in Christ. As we dealt with the body of Christ, basically it gave us information as to who we are. Regeneration tells what we are. Amen. And when you put the two together, it goes a long way to establishing some confidence and security.
Yes, sir.
In who you are.
Amen.
And so you can be, with this information, you can be secure in an insecure world.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Amen. You can be secure in an unsecured environment.
Amen.
Amen. And this is what I think we all seek some security. But when we lay it all out, and we get to the bottom line, is the only security there is in existence is that security that is in Christ, mm-hmm. in God. Amen. Everything else around us is not secured because it has been decreed by God that all of these things are temporary.
Temporary.
Temporary. Everybody said temporary.
Temporary.
Everything you should see, everything that we are dealing with, amen, that is in all things that are in the physical realm are temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And this is why our focus, our priority is on the spiritual realm, those things that are everlasting. As Paul so vividly states in 1 Corinthians 4 and 18, that the things that are seen are temporary. They're temporary. But the things that are unseen, they are everlasting.
All right.
So if you have something that is temporary and something that is everlasting, as important as the temporary thing might be, in its temporary state,
come on,
amen. At some point, temporary means what?
Not
long. Not going to last a long time. Amen. So this is why, in spite of what's going on out there in the world, we shall continue to come here each week, and we shall talk about the everlasting thing. because no matter what you do, and I don't know what, people don't understand that word temporary, no matter what you do, you can march off to Washington and do the million man, a thousand man march, whatever it is, and I'm not expressing any opinion on that one way or the other.
All right.
Amen. But all that that you are putting your stock in and your time in, amen, it is seen. And if it's seen, it's temporary.
Temporary.
Amen.
That's right.
And so our focus, our priority shall be those things that will always be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Deacon Gavin shall be our designated reader this morning. We go into Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And also, as time allows, as I said, we have some other business to take care of this morning. As time will allow, we are going to go into book of Galatians and touch on a few things. Amen. One of the things that we want to bring to crystal clear understanding is the terminology born or born again.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to know what we are. What have we become? Being saved, what have you embraced, and what have you become a part of? Manifestation-wise, in the fact that you are a new creation in Christ, how do you reconcile that, amen, with being born? How do we deal with this term, reconciliation? And so we're going to look at a couple of these things this morning, as I said, as time allows. All right, everyone, let us begin. Let us begin in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. All right, everyone got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read a read.
Just verse 5, yes.
No. We're for the sake of contextualizing, let's go back to first. To verse 1, amen, to just walk into the middle of one verse is kind of dangerous. In fact, Brother Deacon, why don't you read down to verse 7? And then our focus here is on verse 5 in light of what is contextualized and what the conveyance is. All right? Again, everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Titus 3 and 1. Read.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work.
That's about all Paul speaks of as he writes this. The entire province, not only of Israel, but all of the civilized world at this point is under the ruthless control of the Roman government.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, the very few words in here dealing with the fact there were bands of organizations in Israel at that time seeking to overthrow the Roman government. Paul was not didn't have any part of that. And if someone says, well, this is what the church should be doing. No. Let the word of God say what the church should be doing.
That's right.
I'm not saying that some organizations, if God has ordained them to do that, I believe that Martin Luther King was ordained to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But even he understood that it was not the work of the church. And he started an organization, the SCLC, outside of the church. Amen. Here, again, our focus has to be, and we'll see in a minute where Paul's focus was as he writes this. Amen. Because as we look at it today, where's the Roman government? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Even the testimony in the Old Testament is that he raises up a leader for a period and then what? He puts him down. Then he raised up another one and he puts him down. That's God's business.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Our focus must be according to the directives that are given unto us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Verse 2.
To speak evil of no man.
Mm-hmm.
To be no brawlers.
Mm-hmm.
But gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Showing all meekness unto all men.
All right.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish,
mm-hmm.
disobedient.
Everything that's going on out there, amen, if you're not still doing it, you were once doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
And on any given day, you can still end up doing it. Read.
Deceived,
mm-hmm.
serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice.
Now, my God. keep reading.
And envy,
mm-hmm.
hateful,
mm-hmm.
and hating one another.
And nobody here can read through the litany of those things and come out with a clean and said, none of this was ever a part of me. Verse 4.
But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
Speaking of manifestation.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
Mm-hmm, which means that what has happened to you and your state in God has nothing to do with you.
That's right.
It was done outside of you.
That's right.
Read.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done,
mm-hmm.
but according to His mercy.
According to His mercy.
He saved us.
That's how you got saved. It was nothing that you did.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't make no decision to do anything. Amen. You didn't make up your mind to do anything. You are not saved because you made some effort, even some gesture. You are saved by His mercy. Amen. And we're not going to touch on it this morning, but as we look at these grammatical wise, we see the essence of God doing this in a prior time.
Right.
Here in the Greek grammar, we have, as it deals with the verbs, we have the indicative mood. In the Greek, anything that is an indicative mood, it is a fact.
That's right.
And also, that verb, these verbs are in the indicative mood and they're in the aorist tense, which in the Greek, that would be synonymous to the English past tense. It is a past completed action. So you have a past completed fact that He saved you. Amen. And that He saved you not on the basis of your righteousness. When you put this into the correct repertoire where it is, that is in the eternal realm, it eliminates all of the debates as to who did what to get saved. Because if you understand that you were saved in eternity, then you know you weren't around to do anything, to make a gesture, went around to, amen, to give any input into salvation. And I know that this is what is synergistically taught. The doctrine of the synergistic cogitation is rampant. The thinking is that you did something. You had something to do with your status in Christ. That you did it. That you participated. That you called. That you initiated your relationship with God. Amen. That is because men have moved the workings of justification and sanctification into the realm of time out of eternity. If we view it from where God views it, amen, we will see that it is all a complete done deal, actualized in God's decree. Amen. So it's not something that is happening. It is something that's happened in eternity before creation. So you're not on your way to heaven. Amen. You were positioned in the heavenlies before you were ever manifested in your bodies.
Glory.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Because a thing occurs when it is perceived by God,
right,
rather than when it is revealed or realized by man.
Right.
Amen. And so when God conceived it, it was a done deal. Amen. And what God does can never be changed, because one of the characteristics of eternity is immutability, the unchangeableness. There are no sequences and there are no changes in the eternal realm. Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Amen.
All right, keep reading, Brother Deacon. So how did he save us? He did it according to his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
How?
According to his mercy, he saved us,
mm-hmm,
by the washing of regeneration.
And we're going to have to go to the Greek on that, as we always do. And what else?
And renewing of the Holy Ghost.
All right, we'll touch that in a minute to straighten it out. Keep reading.
Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
When did he do this? He shed on us, he gave us, he abundantly blessed us with these blessings. The question is when.
That's right.
And many of us, we are under the illusion that it was actualized. When I say actualized, when it actually came into existence, that it was actualized the moment we believe. This is what we're taught. The moment you believe that you are saved. We have not released them. We have some ontological writings upstairs, and no big word, ontology, not big word. It just means, when does something come into existence?
All right.
when does it come into existence?
Yeah.
We're taught, and men are the impression, that a thing is not actualized or doesn't exist until we know it. That's why in our history books, and I'm not dealing with no politics here now, but just using a crude example, that's why our history books say Columbus discovered America.
Mm-hmm.
You see, until Europeans knew that it was here, it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Amen. And so that's the thinking that there was no salvation until men knew it.
All right.
Until men grasped it.
Mm-hmm.
And until you know you're saved, you're not saved. That's not the case. Amen. Your salvation was secured in eternity. And
mm-hmm,
the day, amen, you came into a knowledge of it was the day you identified with it. That's not the day it happened. That's the day that you found out that you were saved.
Yeah.
That you were already saved. that you were saved from eternity. And it is not you doing anything. It's not about you. Your salvation is not about you. It's all about Him.
All about Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And you know, if we, if God's people somehow, you know, if we come to realize this, when this becomes, amen, inculcated into our spirit, it gives us confidence.
Yes, it does.
It gives the confidence. It gives us confidence. Amen. It answers a lot of questions.
Yes.
Amen. Your knowing it doesn't make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. In fact, it happened without you knowing it. Mm-hmm. And I dare say, amen, if it's God's decree, amen, some will never know it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't take away from the fact of what He did.
Yes.
You say, can a person be saved and not know it? I thank God that our state in Christ is not based upon what we know.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. There's so many things we don't know. We don't understand. God is not based upon understanding. There's so many things that we don't understand.
Amen.
Amen. And it answers the question concerning regeneration as it relates to an infant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it relates to a person of diminished mental capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're taught that a person must make a conscious and an informed, amen, decision to invite Christ into our hearts. And if we don't invite Him in, He doesn't come in, and it causes problem because when an infant, amen, expires, their question is always, what is the state or what is the status of such one? When we look at those of diminished mental capacity, amen, the question is, what is their eternal state?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But if we properly assess and locate the workings of salvation eternity as that which God did before creation, then it takes all of these debates off the table.
Yes.
Amen. You're not saved because of what you do, what you think. You're saved because of what God did for you in eternity.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And I dare say, because the testimony is already there.
Mm-hmm.
The infants that die in Christ. And of course, no preacher is going to get up and a memorial of an infant and tell that mother, tell those parents that that child didn't make it to heaven because such one didn't make a decision for Christ and walked down the aisle and go in the pool and be baptized.
Ain't no telling that.
So they come up with the age of accountability. They say if it was under 12 years old, they're automatically saved, or that the baby never knew sin and all of these. And never mind the fact that Scripture teaches us that we are born in sin.
Amen.
Shaped in iniquity. And all of these things are there and stacked against us. If the synergistic view of salvation is that you must make an informed decision for Christ. But this is about God.
Yes, sir.
And God working.
Yes.
And God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And God's decision.
Mm-hmm.
He decided.
Yes.
He chose you.
Yes.
He elected you. He justified you. He sanctified you. Yes, He glorified you. He said, well, no, I look at my body and say, no. We're talking about what is actualized, not what is manifested. When did He shed it upon us? In eternity. All right, verse 7. Read that.
Titus 3:7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Mm-hmm. That we should be made. Well, we're going to have to read that in the Greek also.
Yes.
All right. Here at the Grace Gospel Church, for those visiting them, we have, from our understanding, both the study of the scriptures, which is more important, and the study of history, we understand that the English language,
yes,
is only, as we speak it now, is only some 500, not even 600 years old yet.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When you go into your English dictionary, you trace the etymology, the big word, no it's not, that means origin, the beginning of every word back to either the 16th or 17th century. You take your Webster, you go back, and you see where that word comes from and the origin of that word, and you see the etymology, and it'll tell you, give you some inference of what that word came from.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our language came from the Latin carried over,
yes.
And the Latin carried over from the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Some words, nomadic words that have been around for centuries that were induced and imported into our language. Now, what I'm saying all of this for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying all of this is because we have this King James Bible here.
Come on with it.
And I've been said, well, Pastor, you know, when you start to compare them and you say that that's not the way it is in the King James, you make me lose confidence in my Bible. Am I reading the right Bible?
Mm-hmm.
No. Bible study is basically going through the scriptures with the Holy Spirit guiding you and leading you and feeding you the information. Amen. This does not come through the dictates of human ability.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that the Word of God and the understanding comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Even the minister who is up ministering, amen, he is just a tool.
Yes.
It is the Holy Spirit that gives the conveyance. It's the Holy Spirit that's communicating with your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In God's process, it is done through language.
Yes, sir.
We speak English or some form of it anyway. But there have been many dialects. It is a language that emerged from two basic dialects, and that's Anglos and Saxon. And there are many words, amen, and I don't have time for the history, but we're saying all of this to say, when we go to the Greek text, it is because the New Testament, as we call the New Testament, between Matthew and Revelation, were written in Greek. And we have copies of the manuscripts. I didn't say autographs. Amen. We don't have the actual autograph or the actual writing, but we have copies, and in most cases, copies of copies. And so you have scribes, because there was no printing press until Gutenberg in the 14th or 15th century. Amen. The only way you could get something copied is that a scribe copied it.
Right.
Amen. And so, amen, God, in his workings, has allowed all of this to happen, and amen, he has designed all of this to happen, so that when you understand, with all of these mistakes, going through all of these changes, amen, that, and you understand, it must be God.
All right. Yeah,
it
all
must
right.
be God.
Be.
But we do have, and we use the manuscripts, the copies of the manuscripts, and what we have is we have interlineal translation direct from the text. And when we're reading it, it is not, in most cases, like what's the way that we express things in English.
Right.
you ever heard of a foreigner speaking English, and we said they're speaking backwards because we always put in our order, amen. We said one way, and they said another. We said they're speaking backwards,
mm-hmm.
amen. So you will see the noun following the verb.
Mm-hmm.
You will see the noun following the verb instead of the noun leading the verb. Amen. And you will see how that works out. But follow it here. Some of us have, I'm hoping that at some point, we will be able to, have these vowels to the majority, those that are here. All right, now, for those who have it, and some of us have it, let's turn to Titus 3 and 5. Amen. I say all of this to preference the fact that our reading is going to be a little different from what's... Don't throw your King James away now. We wouldn't be reading the King James if that wasn't bad. I still think it is the best... English translation in some areas. Not that all of them don't have some areas where they need improvement. All right? I want you to listen real closely and kind of juxtapose that, compare it, lay it side by side from what was conveyed and what is conveyed and the conveyance of what is conveyed that you just heard in the reading of the King James. There's going to be a difference
mm-hmm.
when we read the verse from the Greek as to what's in the King James.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And we explain that as we go. All right? All right. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Everyone that has a Greek interlineal, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The rest of you, please listen real closely and intently as we give this conveyance. All right? That's Titus 3 and 5. Elder, Deacon, I want you to read verses 5, 6, and 7. All right? Listen very closely. Read.
Titus 3, verse 5. Greek text. God, that's the end of that. Not by works in righteousness, which did we,
mm-hmm.
but according to the of him mercy,
mm-hmm.
he saved us
mm-hmm.
through the washing of regeneration. And renewal, spirit of
spirit.
The Holy.
Now here we have, I just don't have time. We have what you look at these two words, regardless of what Bible you've got. Look at the two words, washing and renewing. Here you would think that these are it gives inference here that these are gerunds. These are not gerunds.
Mm-hmm.
There are no gerunds in the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Because you take a verb and you put ing on it, and that's your gerund.
Mm-hmm.
Washing, doing, sewing, running. And so they've got washing there. But that's a noun.
Uh-oh.
That is a noun. It is not a verb.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you've got two nouns coupled together.
Mm-hmm.
And that is washing, and that's regeneration.
Regeneration.
And so... here is describing an operation of God. He's not saying He's washing you by regeneration. Mm-hmm. It is washing regeneration.
All right.
Washing regeneration.
Yes.
What does that mean? Washing regeneration.
Yes.
And then it says renewing Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's renewal Holy Spirit.
Right.
Renewal Holy Spirit. Remember now, it's a noun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a verb. A verb is an action word.
Mm-hmm.
A noun is the name of a person, place, or thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stopping, I'm talking, I'm not swinging from the... We've been preached to, my goodness, the emotional aspect of preaching and people getting happy, and you come in, amen, without knowledge, you go out without knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You need something. There's something out there waiting on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you need something to anchor you.
Yeah.
Amen. Ask the people that were displaced from New Orleans and from Louisiana and from the area, Gulf Coast area down there, amen, lost everything they've got. You need more than a jump and a shout.
Yes,
you
sir.
Need some knowledge.
Yes.
Amen. In case it is on God's agenda for you to be wiped out, you are not wiped out. You just lost everything you had physically.
All right.
Amen. You haven't lost. You haven't really lost.
Right.
Amen. That's another thing. But what we're trying to convey to you is that there is stability in life.
Yes, sir.
And that stability resides in the fact of what God did for you before He ever made you. He saved you before He ever made you.
Yes, sir. Glory. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Come on with it.
And the fact of what happens in time, amen, is secondary, amen, and it doesn't influence what your life really is, because your life is invested in the eternal works of God.
Glory to God. Thank you, sir.
Yes,
sir. Thank you, Lord.
If you lost everything physically, is your life over? Huh? Is your life over? Amen. Could you at least be like the Vietnamese gentleman that they interviewed? And they asked him, what did he think? He had lost all everything he had physical. He said, I don't think any more than I thought 20 years ago when I got here. I didn't have anything. So, can we at least think that way? But even more. Even more than that. To know that even if Jesus said, life does not consists in the abundance of things that a man possesses. Because they are physical. And at some point, amen, you will realize that they belong to you. Which means at some point, no matter how much you go and gather, you are going to have to give it up. Naked you came in. Naked you're going out of here. Nobody dies a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
They just die.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The millions stay here, but you're gone.
Oh,
hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
All right. All right.
And so we have to realize that the only possession that is a possession is that which you have in relationship to God, which is eternal.
Eternal.
Amen. I know the church is not preaching this, especially the ministries now that are speaking and teaching prosperity. Amen. Get all you can and get all you get. Amen. Abraham was rich. Abraham was rich. Amen. When Abraham died, everything that he had stayed here. Abraham was gone. But Abraham is richer in the fact of what God, amen, decreed and gave him in eternity.
Yes.
And that's what even the Abrahamic covenant is about.
Yes.
It is not about the earthly things of life as they are now, but as that which, amen, God has decreed to be manifested in the time to come in the millennium. Yes. That which he speaks concerning Abraham.
Yes.
But for us, it is even more.
More.
Can you say more?
More. Hallelujah.
We are members of the body of Christ.
Much more.
Positioned as sons in Him. before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that you were chosen in Him. He did choose you in Him before the foundation of the world. That's your real possession.
Yeah.
Oh, my friend. My God, if God's people could only learn this and understand this and not get caught up on those things that are going to pass.
Hallelujah.
So, washing, regeneration, and renewal, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the prefix is re.
Re.
Re. Re means what?
Again.
Again. If you redo something, you're doing it again.
All right. Come on with it.
If you recount, you've counted before.
Yeah.
Huh?
Come on with it.
If it's a rerun, it has run before. Huh? If it's a return, you've been there before.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
God. Regeneration. Amen. Is speaking of what, amen, you were in Christ before creation. Amen. Manifestation-wise, we may be looking forward, but actualization-wise, it is back. It is back to what God did in the beginning.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So nothing in time, which is manifestation only, can ever interrupt what God has done in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Finish reading that up in 6 and 7. And we hit a couple points and we got something else to do this morning. I'm going to bail out, but of course, thank God. I get to come back every week, don't I?
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, Lord.
All right, read verse 6.
Titus 3 and 6.
Mm-hmm. From the Greek text.
Which He shed on us richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us.
Aris. Indicative.
Absolutely.
A completed fact.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
Verse 7. In order that, being justified
mm-hmm.
by the of that one grace,
mm-hmm.
heirs we might become.
Now I've got to hear, you notice in the King James, how does that read there? It reads
that we might become heirs.
That we should be.
That we should be.
No, it says look at the King James. That
yes.
Which gives some interest. That is something that should be, but you might not. It might not happen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Here we have what we call a subjunctive aorist. There, I'm speaking here of the Greek word yeniv. Foaming. Here, the best that can be expressed in English is we might become, but you have a subjunctive mood, and that's why they said might. But you also have the aorist tense, which is the past completed action.
Yes, sir.
So here it is that we might haven't become. In the manifestation aspect, it might happen depending upon what God's decree is.
Mm-hmm.
In the eternal realm, it is a past completed action because whatever it is, God has already decreed it.
Already. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
And so it's not something that is just hanging out there until God conveys it to you that you are His heir. You don't know it, that's the might be because you'll never know it, amen. If God doesn't, you won't ever know it, God, amen. If God has not decreed it to you, you'll never know it, amen. But whether it happened or not, amen, is only based upon the fact as to whether God has decreed it.
Mm-hmm.
Glory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are many people that are saved this morning, they don't know it.
They do not know it.
You know that song? Going up the rough side of the mountain, trying to make it home. Well, of course, we don't sing that here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the custodian of the songs around. We don't sing that here.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't sing that. You're not trying to make it into heaven.
All right.
You're not trying to make heaven your home.
Oh.
You're not trying to get home.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to be saved. Amen. This is why we look and we see the eternal work of God. And as we see the eternal work of God, we don't have to guess whether we're saved. We know that we are saved. Now I'm going to preface some and then I'm going to close for the day. And thank God we get to come back. And of course, every message that is preached here at the Grace Gospel Church, you can go to our website, Grace Gospel Ministry, TRY.com. Go to the audio section, pull it up, and you can hear all of the messages for the last 2 years. Amen. But as we look at this, when the correct concept of regeneration is comprehended, follow me now, it encompasses the glorious eternal spiritual blessings that exude justification, election, sanctification, and glorification. If you're following along on the document, the bottom of page 2. These were in fact all simultaneously actualized in God's decree, which is in essence their conferment upon his elect in eternity. Listen to this. Some purport that one's faith follows regeneration and is separate from it. This is not true in the sense that the proponents of this statement assert it to be. The chief problem with this proposition is that, as it is stated, it places the actuation of the actual existence of regeneration in time. The phrase born again, as expressed in John 3:7 and 1 Peter 1:23, is often utilized in association and identification of what regeneration signifies. Similarly, the term conversion, we've heard that, conversion of the soul, is depicted as someone who has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit through their act of initiating a relationship with God. In this sense, the traditional religious process is fostered in the following manner. Quote, conversion follows regeneration and is different from it in the following ways. And this is the cogitation. This is the thinking. Regeneration is God's act. Conversion is ours. In this view, regeneration is the implementation and exercise of God's gracious principle that has been enacted by the process of our conscience. Oh my God. Now the aim of the dissertation that we shall have been and for the foreseeable number of weeks we shall be conveying this to you, we want to document that, listen to this, regeneration, or the act of what you are, is an eternal, single act, complete within itself, which means it is not something that is repeated over and over and over again.
Yeah.
We use the expression, so-and-so got saved today. And when we say that, we're saying that they received salvation today. They were born again today. They were, amen. So we view, amen, salvation, the enactment of God's salvation, as being many acts based upon those who receive it doing something and altered to be the recipients of it. But regeneration is a single act of God in eternity doing the choosing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Before he created anyone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And this is what the Apostle Paul has referenced to in Romans, I think around the 9th chapter, when he speaks of Esau and Jacob, who were twins. And he said that before either one of them was born, God loved one and hated the other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Glory. Yes.
Which means that before you come on the scene, amen, God, amen, has already made choice that you are His.
Already.
And what you do does not influence it, because it is a done deal. It is completed. It is finished in eternity.
Yes.
Amen. You have no part of your salvation. So it's not many acts, it is one act. One act of eternity. Now there are many acts of manifestation. Manifestation is the day that you realize. But all you did is you realized what God did for you in eternity. You didn't enact salvation by believing. Amen. Conversion, as I close. Being born again. When it is properly evaluated, as we look at it, it is at its best, it is the commencement of the beginning of your identification of God's eternal works and God's eternal existence of it that was actualized, it was brought into being by God's decree. By God's perceiving it, it exists. It comes into existence as, in essence, through God's decree. God says it is, and it is. We even see that in Genesis in manifestation. And this is what they don't understand. They say, God said, let there be, and there was. We think the writer is saying, and of course you have to get to our gospel to look back on it, and to see that God said, let there be, and there was. Amen. The action there is the manifestation. Amen. The existence of it was that God said it. Amen. The manifestation of it is that it was. It was in the sight of men, but it was in the fact that God said it in eternity.
Hallelujah.
That's when it was.
Glory.
Now next week, we focus on this. Realize, let me just give you a preview. There are certain principles embedded in dispensing this truth, because there are those that they're going to militate against what we're teaching. They're going to say that we're teaching heresy. Amen. Never mind that this was preached coming out of the Reformation. But you wouldn't know it today. Amen. But there are certain principles embedded in dispensing this truth. And they're critical to comprehending and fully appreciating this glorious and eternal blessing. And they are, number one, consistency. That is, what is asserted and expressed, it must be free from contradiction. Amen. Number two, coherence. It must be unified. Number three, comprehensiveness. It must be applicable in all evidence. And number four, congruity. Big word, no you don't. Those that are in geometry, you know what congruent triangles are. Amen. It must align. It must be accurate. It must be adequate. It must be precise in disseminating all the data. In other words, the whole must equal the sum of its parts. If one part of the whole is out of sync with the whole, then the whole, in this case, has to be revised to include this part without throwing the other parts out of sync. Otherwise, of what you are preaching and teaching needs to be adjusted. Because the interpretation must be reflective of all conveyances. You must be able to take everything that is conveyed here and make it all come out and say the same thing. So consistency, coherence, comprehensiveness, and congruity. But misunderstanding and subsequent misapplication of these effectively uproot the stabilizing impact upon the mindset of God's people. This is why many said that the Bible contradicts itself. Amen. Because they don't understand. Amen. And there is no way to understand under the way it is being taught. But systematic epistemology of the scriptures engenders four criteria, which we have just given you, of qualifying our interpretation. And when you are able to make them all gel, what comes out is the undeniable truth. Finally, the adequacy, rationality, reliability, and suitability of scriptures can be evaluated or validated on the basis of these four examinations. The failure of an exegesis or an interpretation in any one of these criteria indicates its weakness and the likelihood that further evaluation and reconstruction of either or maybe all historical, grammatical, and contextual applications are necessary. Not only necessary, they are demanded if you're going to come out with truth or veracity. So next week we will go into this. Now I know this is antithetical to way much of the preaching and teaching is done. Amen. They said preaching, teaching. We said, Pastor, I don't know that much difference between your preaching and teaching. Amen. We've been hollered at, and amen. We've been emotionalized. And how long does emotion last, huh? Emotion, you know, I mean, a junkie can tell you emotion don't last that long. You know, you get all hyped up, you know, and it just doesn't last long. But you need something that's going to stabilize you. Cause you to stand when the tests and the trials and the problems and the vicissitudes of life all begin to beat you down, you have something to stand on. We'll continue next week. God bless you. This time, if there's someone in hearing the word of God, God has called you and brought you into an awareness of your state in Him, and you desire, amen, and you can only desire if He has called you to desire, amen, to come in identification of it. We give opportunity at this time. Is there one?